Everywhere the king is king, there's the kingdom.
If you wait until you feel like everything's right, you'll never go. You'll never go.
There's nothing that can possibly in this earth be more spectacular than what can happen when heaven invades this realm.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Creativity is how heaven comes to earth.
It's not just singing songs, but it is fighting with truth.
We're here to resource churches, not make great music.
If we want community, we got to build it.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh, a hubba hubba hubba.
We need to say a big happy birthday to somebody. Who is that?
Well, I'll tell you. It's a somebody that comes from Tupelo, Mississippi. Used to pump gas down at the Esso station. And then one day he was discovered crooning away, and he went to Sun Studios in Memphis, Tennessee and recorded an album.
An album.
A record. Oh, hubba, hubba, hubba.
Happy birthday,
that's right.
Elvis.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Today is Elvis Presley's birthday.
My Elvis impersonation is terrible.
It really is.
It kind of sounds like Ray Hughes.
My mom said that when she was little, they would see him on TV and the camera would block out from his waist down because they wouldn't show his hips moving like that on the screen.
Man, we've come a long way since then.
Oh my goodness.
One of my favorite scenes in any movie is the Forrest Gump Elvis scene. And he's like, show me how you're swinging your hips around there.
That's so fun. I remember watching Elvis as a little boy. In fact, my mom has a picture of me. I was probably like, I don't know, 3 or 4, and I had this little rocking chair. I had my cowboy hat on, a big bowl of popcorn, and I was rocking in front of the TV watching Elvis.
Like a movie? Wow. Or
no, the real
concert.
Elvis.
Well, he's real in movies, too.
But. Yeah.
Oh, no, it was, I don't know
it
what it
concert?
Was. It was a concert. Yeah, he was singing.
That so, like, makes you seem like in a different generation to me, because I don't ever remember seeing Elvis on TV, like, ever.
Yeah, some people did question our marriage, wondering if it was legal.
That is true.
Because you looked so young. Yeah. And you still look so
Which
young.
Which is not unlike Elvis. And his choice of wife, because wasn't she like super, super young? Priscilla Presley?
I think she was, yeah. I think she was a teenager when they got
Except
married.
Except I wasn't a teenager when we got married. Sorry about that, people.
Talk about somebody that's influential and shaping a generation. Oh, my goodness.
I believe he missed his call. Hubba,
yeah.
Hubba.
Well, he did it. Hubba, hubba. I don't know if you guys seen this, but have you seen the Elvis tapes of them like after concerts? He and his band would get together after the concert and stay up all night and sing what they would call gospel songs.
Hmm.
And they would just release these heartfelt renditions of the popular, you know, church songs.
And sings my soul.
Exactly.
My Savior,
exactly.
God. Oh, hubba, hubba.
Hubba, hubba. Let's just start saying hubba, hubba after every sentence. It's so weird to me that he like totally shifted the music industry.
He
turned it upside down. And yet he was such a tormented man.
Right. Mm. Because he wasn't fulfilling his call.
His call.
Hubba, hubba.
Yeah. It wasn't fulfilling the call of God on his life. Hubba, hubba.
Yeah, you are like a cross right now between Buford, Bohannon, and James.
And Elvis.
And Elvis.
Yeah.
The Reverend Buford, Bohannon, and James here. I'll tell you what. Well, have you ever been to Graceland?
No.
No.
Be cool to go.
But if you're from Memphis, it's Graceland.
Graceland.
Yeah, Graceland.
Mm. Where is Graceland?
Memphis, Tennessee.
Really? Oh, see, I didn't even know where it was.
Yeah. They got the jungle room. They got some other rooms. I've never been there, actually. But
wow.
I hear it's pretty.
Sounds like a real destination.
Yeah, I'd love to go in and check out the shag carpet walls.
The shag carpet wall.
Oh.
Gotta love it. Let's put some of that in the studio.
Think of all of the dirt and dust that is trapped in those walls.
It's soundproofing.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've got a great show for you today, Hubba Hubba. And we are talking about getting an attitude. On the program a little bit later, we'll be talking with Daryl Billings and diving into that topic. Next week, we're going to be celebrating show 100 of the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. It's going to be a big deal. We're going to have as many people as we can have and have a little Q&A. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll eat some cake or something.
That would be good. That would be good. Cake is always good.
Yeah, always welcome.
Or cinnamon rolls.
Oh.
100th show cinnamon rolls.
Maybe.
Well, we'll be doing that next week. Coming up, talking about getting an attitude. Stick around.
Where's my blue suede shoes?
Recently, Next Gen Worship encountered Like Hearts near the Boston, Massachusetts area, recording artists that pour their heart out and reveal the heart of God in a new EP entitled Dreams Become One. We would like to take this time to highlight their story and share their music. You can purchase their EP at desertwondermusic.com.
Sometimes when you're in a season of transition, it's easy to find yourself second-guessing the steps you've taken, or feeling like you've entered into a desert.
During a time of worship in a season just like that, we heard the Lord pulling us close and reminding us that He has a plan and a purpose in each step, and although we can't see it in full yet, He is revealing it to us little by little.
He kept whispering, "Just stay with me a while and let our dreams become one."
We were wrecked with this constant invitation from the Lord and were quickly filled with confidence on who He is over what we were feeling.
It's the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Next week, it is the 100th show of Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Wow.
That's so exciting.
I know. We're going to have a big party, have lots of people on the show with us asking questions. In fact, we're gearing up for it. We're giving away a big prize pack, and you can get registered at nextgenworship.com.
That's
so
right.
So if you're listening to this right now and you want to be in for that drawing, we're going to be doing it live on the show. So get to nextgenworship.com, register for that prize pack.
Yeah, and it's not a car.
It's not a car. You get a car, and you get a car.
I'll take the car.
It's just to say thanks for listening.
Yeah, it really, our show is nothing without the people that are listening. So we appreciate you, and this is our way of saying thank you for listening and hanging out with us.
Today we're diving into the topic of get an attitude.
Yep. Well, so many things that we could get an attitude about. Here is a few. Everybody
my
ready?
Love attitude. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, starting a new year, I wanted to talk about kingdom attitudes. You know, what are some things that we can set ourselves up automatically as a preset? What are some ways of thinking that can really reposition us at a good, healthy place? So, man, here we go. Number one, we are thermostats, not thermometers.
Come on, somebody.
We're responsible for creating culture with the values and heart of heaven. We must carry a contagious presence that shifts atmospheres and changes the options for everyone we meet. We set the tone for the world. We are here to take responsibility for and steward the history and the destiny of the world.
Wow.
Come on.
So when you walk Serious into attitude. A room, do you bring peace? Or do you bring anxiety come with
on,
you?
Come on, that's good.
Yeah.
And when you're approached with that, well, I guess I could be better, you flip the script on that attitude.
Yeah.
So your attitude changes the attitudes that yeah. are not in line with kingdom thinking.
Yeah. I think as a rule, church hasn't taught us to take responsibility. You know, in a lot of ways, you know, it's been a gathering place. You know, as we go on, it's been healthier and healthier. But we're really feeling and sensing from Holy Spirit an emphasis on taking responsibility for things in our own lives, in our family, in our communities, in our city. In a lot of ways, guys, we carry the power for change and answers to problems.
If you look at the human body, you've got all these different organs and chemistry that actually works for each other. You've got different functions of your body that protect other parts of the body.
Yeah.
And so that gives us permission right there, because we are the body and we can't just be every man for himself. We can't just be like, you know, I'll manage me, you manage you. But we, you know, it's not about managing. It's about protecting. It's about honoring. It's about respecting and stewarding and seeing the best in others and championing their destiny.
Yeah. That takes character.
Come on.
You have to be a person of character to have that kind of internal atmosphere and to have that affect the room that you happen to be in.
Yeah. Well, that point ties in closely with another one that we can get an attitude about. We are collaborators, not competitors. Mm. So this is close to my heart and our heart, obviously. We're collaborators partnering, building, and working together for the same purposes, not competitors who tear others down as we climb ladders of exclusivity and justification.
Oh my goodness, this is like my hot button.
Let's hear it, Haley.
Issue. No, it is. Like, you should be a person that is so powerful that you walk into a group of people and the catty, gossipy conversation just zip stops because your character brings a, that's not what we're doing today, girlfriend. Oh, that just makes me fired up.
She's got an attitude.
Yeah, attitude. It's so good. Well, we talk about this a lot because competition is not part of our DNA. You know, collaboration is a God DNA. And as people who care about a region and a city that we are taking ownership for, we are responsible to collaborate with other people. And that could be anything. I mean, we're musicians and worship leaders and pastors, and we could partner musically, and we do. So powerful, by the way, when we do that. But how else could we collaborate? God has a destiny for a city. And unless we learn to collaborate in that destiny, it will never be realized. We have gotten so good at church building, and thank God for that. Our church services are incredible. But now let's take a step beyond. What does God say about our city? How can we use our favor, authority, and influence as kingdom builders in a greater sphere, a greater realm, at a city level? So let's take that influence that we've learned in building church and bringing people together in a room and apply it to a city. What could happen?
That attitude will actually rein in everybody. It'll create this feeling of inclusion. Everyone's vital. Every cell of the body is vital and necessary for life. And people that may be sitting back and kind of spectating a little bit will become involved and contribute.
Yeah. And it's so powerful because we see that in the Bible a lot. We see what we like to call a principle called the power of all. Mm-hmm. And all through the Bible, you see one people uniting around the voice of the Lord. Just some real quick references. They marched around the wall of Jericho. They all lifted one voice and the walls fell straight down. So many times, you know, like even in the book of Acts, in the upper room, they were all there in one accord. And man, what happened? A sound from heaven came and wrecked the city, and thousands were swept into the kingdom.
I think if you don't naturally think that way, like if you haven't grown up into a church culture that's like that, you can ask Holy Spirit to help you train yourself to think that way, to make a deliberate attempt in your mind to start viewing situations through how does this affect everyone, or how can I collaborate and not be competitive? And it could be really powerful.
Yeah. Well, closely related to these topics is another thing I had thought of for today, is the fact that we are encouragers and prophetic voices awakening people to who they are, not fault finders. Mm. Not fault finders who respond in fear every time someone else is elevated or becomes powerful. We are not threatened by the success of others. In fact, we are here to ensure it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a big bad attitude for you right there.
That is so powerful.
Wow.
Again with the wow. It's really true. If you are the only powerful person in the room, you're really not that powerful.
Right. Oh, man. Oh, wow. Snap.
That's so good.
It's true. Like, if your power is the only bright light and you're not encouraging everyone to come up to a higher level, if you're not championing other people, I kind of question your power and your leadership, frankly.
Yeah. And this ties closely in with our last thing we're talking about competition. You know, we're not here as competitors, but as people who are fighting for the dreams of others. Let's go beyond the word fighting for. Let's say we're laying down our lives. Mm-hmm. I lay down my life for you guys. I lay down my life for you, Josh. I lay down my life for you, Haley. And for you listening, I lay down my life so that you can be a powerful person in the kingdom. So this goes way beyond maybe this church culture that we grew up in, or even the city culture. A lot of times churches put up the walls and say, you know, don't cross the boundary, you know, you may not pass, you know. But what would happen if we started fighting for each other instead of against each other?
Well, Ashley and I were just talking about that this morning. What is true love? And Jesus said the greatest love is that a man lay down his life for his friends.
That's right.
So true love is not, is this the best relationship for me?
Right.
And it's not even giving your life to another person. It's giving your life for another person.
Yeah.
So your life becomes their life.
You become an investor in people.
Yes.
Instead of just yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Well, this last point that I thought about today, where we need to have a major attitude adjustment, is around the issue of healing. And this year, I don't know how or what, but I want to increase an emphasis on healing, see greater healings. We see healings all the time in different tribes, and healings happen regularly, and great things are happening. In fact, our friend Dustin Smith, we'll just plug his project, healingisright.com, is trying to start a healing revolution, and they are having incredible results, so check that out. But we are fighters for healing and restoration, not bystanders waiting for a better time. We have the power to be rescuers and redeemers through the power of God. We are carriers of hope. We have the power to make wrong things right and set chaos into order. So what does this speak to? This speaks to the attitude of, I'm just waiting for my first ticket out of here, or I'm just waiting for everything to go to hell in a handbasket. Can we say that? Is that okay? We're just waiting for everything to go wrong. And, you know, we're dramatic a little bit a lot of times in Christian circles, waiting for things to be chaotic and destruction, and even some circles glory in that. But we are here to set wrong things right, and we are here to set chaos into order. That's a major attitude adjustment we need to have, and to not settle for sickness. If sickness is not normal, everyone, and you're not supposed to be sick, and we need to really see an attitude adjustment.
You can
on
be
this
forgiven
area.
Of your sins, but you have to stay sick.
Wow, that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah. God is not teaching you a lesson if you're sick. The Bible says the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you have anything in your life where it has been stolen, that's dead, or has been destroyed, it is not the presence of God. It is the presence of darkness. And we are here to push that darkness out.
Well, that dovetails right into the attitude behind healing, is this pioneer spirit. You know, really, you're going into territory that is beyond normal, everyday life as people know it. You're going into not just mining the heart of God, but mining the heart of other people and finding the jewels in there, finding the good stuff in there, and speaking life where there's death, speaking forgiveness where there's resentment, speaking restoration where there's brokenness. And healing is more than just physical ailments being restored. Healing is total restoration.
Right.
And that's what Jesus came
Come
to
on.
Do.
That's so good.
Well, we're going to be talking with Daryl Billings here in just a little bit. He's going to be joining us on the program to talk a little bit more about getting an attitude. And next week, show 100 of the Next Gen Worship broadcast.
It's
big party.
Party.
If you want to get registered for our giveaway for that show, we're going to be doing that on the show next week. You can register at nextgenworship.com. Daryl Billings coming up.
I think you can say hell as long as it stays in a handbasket.
What would it look like if a whole city responded in unison to the Lord? What would it look like for a city to love God together? Our worship shifts atmospheres and makes it easier for prisoners to be set free. It's time to unite. Unite Worship Gathering is a regional worship event devoted to an extended period of vertical worship and building community. There's no agenda, no preaching. Our focus is fully on His presence. Regional worship leaders worshiping in the round, and everyone is encouraged to join in as we host the presence of God in a greater way for our region. This month's Unite Worship Gathering will be held January 13th at 7 p.m. through January 14th at 7 p.m. hosted at Joplin Church Alive, 917 Illinois Avenue in Joplin. Unite Worship Gatherings are hosted by a different church every month. Check the schedule for upcoming dates and to sign up for a 1 or 2 hour time slot at uniteworshipgatherings.com.
Is afraid of me. Next Gen.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
Can you believe it? Next week, show 100 of the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
That's a lot of shows, man.
That is a lot of shows. We have got, well, we just had the highlights a couple weeks ago with all the great stuff that happened in 2016, but there's stuff before that too, you know?
That's true.
We had gotten to talk to some really great influential people. One of those is on the program with us today. We're talking about getting an attitude, and Mr. Daryl Billings.
Hey, how you doing?
Welcome, Daryl. Once again, you're a featured voice on the broadcast.
And I feel honored that I'm the last guest on the two-digit programs. The next one is the three-digit programs.
Oh, right, right. You're going to help us finish it out. Yeah. Really enjoy having you on the show as always, because you're such a voice in community. And not only that, you have given yourself a label, Spiritual Grandpa, which is awesome. That means you can get away with a lot more than us.
My point is to make sure you don't get away with too much.
There you go. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about attitude today, and it's the beginning of the year. Lots of people talking about what they're going to do differently. And when we talk about the kingdom, attitude is a huge player. And when we talk about relationships, we talk about family life, church life, community life. So let's talk about attitude. What's on your heart?
Well, you know, when we give ourselves to Jesus Christ, make him Lord, we're a whole totally new creation. But the word says that we have to have the renewing of the mind. So that means our attitude must be adjusted continually. And it's from glory to glory. It's from reading of the word. Now, in my lifetime, I'm 65 years old, and so my attitude's been adjusted a bajillion times so far. But especially in these last 5 years, where I realize that the Word of God says that nothing is impossible with God.
Yeah.
I'm really adjusting my attitude to that. What is the possibilities? What is going to happen here? It's going to be all good.
Mm-hmm. We see a lot of times, especially in the church world, people with good intentions.
Right.
Setting out to do great things. But as the saying goes, the little fox steals the grapes sometimes. A lot of times, though, there is elemental building blocks that are out of place that you can look at as somebody with perspective and go, you know what? That thing is going to rob their success. It's going to rob their destiny. So I love some of the things you talk about concerning these basic building blocks of success in the kingdom. One of them is the tree of life.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Well, you've got two trees in the garden. And we chose to eat the one that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is comparison. When you look at it, is it good or is it evil? And we use that in our day-to-day Christian walk, in our evangelism. Hey, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a sinner or are you a saint? All of these comparisons really end up building walls. They end up being judgmental. When actually, if we live from the tree of life, we live from the attitude of the Father's heart. We live from that which is good. There's no comparison. It's just all good. Everything we do, if we're doing it with the Father, it's going to be good. Doesn't necessarily mean that our circumstances right now, as we look at them and as we think about them, that may not seem like they're good, yet, but the Father's not done. He's not taking us through the entire journey yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so around the corner, it is going to be good. But for right now, it's still good because it's building my character.
Yeah.
That made me think of something when you were talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil being a place of comparison, like this duplicity mindset that we have. And it made me think of Jesus and how singular he was.
Right.
Jesus never had his own opinion about anything.
Hmm.
He never voiced his own opinion. He only spoke the truth. And when you're singular and you're just doing what the Father is doing and saying what the Father is saying, you're always truthful and you're never opinionated.
Right.
Right. I wrote a blog the other day talking a little bit about this, about the ability to carry heaven without a personal agenda. And a lot of times when we meet someone, I think this is a little bit what you're alluding to, Daryl, about the comparison thing and about confronting people, is that when they see us coming sometimes, they, meaning people who have not been born again or have not been brought back into the family of God, like the Bible talks about, they feel an agenda about a mile away. That's a turnoff, you know, when they feel that weird agenda about, I'm going to sell you some Amway, get ready.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm going to shape you to be in my image when we have this agenda.
Oh, wow.
But we are created to be in the Father's image. So we have this one focus. I love my life verse is Psalm 27:4, where David says, this one thing I desire, this one thing I seek after, and that's to gaze upon you and in your beauty and to dwell in your presence. I love the voice translation you showed me the other day. And in that it says to be in the shadow of the temple, walking among his people. He's talking about being outside of the four walls and being among the people, taking this one thing. And we look at the rich young ruler. Jesus said, there's one thing you've missed. When we look at Mary, when she's at his feet, he said, don't bother because she's found the one thing. What's the one thing? It's the gazing upon the beauty of God and recognize this is true. This is what I'm hoping for. This is reality. Everything else that is outside of that realm of his righteousness is not really real.
Yeah,
it's a lie. I love what Bill Johnson says, that anything that has no hope is under the influence of a lie.
Yeah.
So hope means everything's going to be hunky-dory, even better.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to dive into something that you're doing in our city. For several years now, you've been organizing teams to go out on the streets. How do you approach people when you want to come and be an impact for good in their life? Do you like go to the mall and tell them how bad they are? Or, well, what do you guys do? Because, you know, this is really something that's sweeping the world right now. Taking the power of God out into the streets. How do you guys do that?
We look for people who need hope. Mm. You know, whether they're on crutches, a cane, or as of last night, Jeff and Tom and I were out at Walmart, and a lady was one of the little Walmart carts. And so we just walked up to her and told her, hey, we're out looking for people to bless and pray for. Is there anything we can pray for you for? And oh my gosh, you thought we'd given her $300. She was so happy. And then she began to tell us about her quadriplegic daughter, and we began doing some things, and God just beginning to do some downloads in her life, bringing some prophetic words to her, words of knowledge, and that opened her eyes that God is really speaking to her. Hit her right on with a son that was estranged from the family and the prayers. And so when we left, she was thanking us because we brought her hope. She went to Walmart to go shopping and ended up with a whole lot more in her cart than she came for.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So getting really practical here, let's maybe pick the top one or two attitude adjustments. You said you've had about a bajillion.
Yeah.
Let's maybe pick the top one or two that you've seen the most fruit from.
Seeing the good in people. Jesus said the kingdom is like a man who finds a treasure. And so I look for the treasures in the people who are in front of me. When you can make eye contact with people, you can actually begin to get into their heart and see things, and you begin getting downloads. That's an attitude adjustment, that I can speak things that my normal mind would not begin to think of.
Mm-hmm.
Another attitude adjustment is just the fact that if it's not good now, it's going to be. So why complain about a situation? Because perseverance is going to come from what I'm going through right now, and that builds character.
Yeah,
you still find yourself whining every once in a while, but you know, David did that in the Psalms, but then you go, oh yeah, God, you're good, you're really good. So I'm in anticipation of what we're going to do.
Yeah. Haley, what about you? Quick attitude adjustment.
Being willing to have hope. Being willing to look at my situation, my circumstances, or the status of my heart, and then demand of myself that I will have hope because he is good.
Yeah, so good. Josh, biggest attitude adjustment that's produced the most fruit for you?
I think coming into a place of understanding that I am ready, that I'm already ready, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to get ready. I don't have to fix myself. I don't have to continually improve myself. I am ready and willing, and let's go do whatever Papa wants to do. And through that process, I get better.
Yeah. I think for me, the biggest attitude adjustment that produced the most fruit is the fact that I was waiting for my leaders to change the world. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for them to do my job. Some of that was my fault. Some of that was maybe just church culture that says come to church every Sunday. But when I started taking responsibility and God told me, he's like, you don't need anybody's permission to change the world. You know, hello. That's when I'm like, oh, I've got a brand new perspective. And that's produced a ton of fruit in my life.
That's awesome, man. Daryl, thank you so much for being on the program with us.
Thank you.
Get out there, get an attitude about flipping the world upside down because you can.
Yeah.
You have permission to change the world. And next week, our 100th show here on the Next Year in Worship broadcast. It's going to be a party. We're going to have some festivities, lots of people, and some Q&A. We're giving away a bundle, and we would love for you to register for that at nextgenworship.com. Just a simple thank you for listening to the program. And again, on our show 100, we will explore the Father's heart and see what he wants for our generation and the generations to come. See you then.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.